Welcome to the Female Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Eves, and I started this podcast to help uplift and inspire female photographers just like you with a weekly chat to share insights about photography from other women who just get you. Hello, I am sitting in my son's room today recording so that nobody disturbs me because I usually record at my desk, which is kind of in the dining room or sitting in the lounge. And I've got a few people in the house today, so I don't want you to hear anyone in the background while I am talking to you. And today, I don't know, I've been quite busy the last couple of weeks because the kids have been home because it's school holidays. And yeah, I love that I can spend time with them in the school holidays and go on adventures. We went glamping the first week of the holidays, and that was super fun. And the kids loved it. This week they've mostly been with their grandparents because I've been back with the Air Force, back in the photography team, training up one of our newest photographers, which has been fun. But we also had Anzac Day on Thursday. So I went to a dawn service to probably our biggest one in New Zealand, or possibly second biggest, at the Auckland War Memorial. And I photographed that service. And I have shot that service, two or three times before. And in the past, I probably would have been like, yeah, I've done this before. I know the shots to get. I'll just do that. But this year I thought, you know what, I've done this so many times and I want to do something different. I don't just want to show everyone the same photos that they've seen every year. So I thought I might play around a little bit with movement, because there's a lot of movement with people marching onto the parade and, well, I guess that's the majority of the movement, is the people marching onto the parade and then the people marching off again. In between, they're all very still, standing at attention, all the military people, the Navy, the Army and the Air Force. There were some cadets and some veterans there too, which was cool. But yeah, most of the time during the parade, they're standing still. Anyway, as I marched on, I wanted to play with getting a little bit of a blur in the swinging of their arms and their legs marching along. So yeah, I had to play around, and one of the photos I took I really liked, and I knew it was a bit risky because, yeah, when you're in the Air Force, or when you're a military photographer, you can't really get too creative. So maybe I shouldn't have done this. You kind of need to show things exactly as they are. And the one I really loved ended up kind of looking like a painting. Like, if you can imagine those paintings where you look at the painting and you think, oh, the artist must have just been like flicking their wrist with the brush all over the place. And you can just feel the movement in the painting. I took a shot where I felt like you could just feel the movement so much of the Navy people marching along. Because yeah, it was quite blurry, but you could see where their heads were, you could see where their hands had been swinging, you could see where their legs were. It wasn't like it was a total blur, although it was very blurry. It was my intention for it to look like that. I guess there was a building in the background, which is our Sky Tower, which is quite a prominent building in New Zealand, in Auckland. And that was a little bit blurred. So I think if that had been maybe like, if that had been sharp, then maybe the photo would have been better. I would have just had to hold my camera a little bit more still, but I didn't have a tripod. So that was a little bit tricky to just hold it still. Anyway, I thought this photo was great. Clearly, I'm a little bit out of touch with the Air Force because I put a selection of, I think it was like 19 photos up for them, for our team to use on social media. They put all of them up, but that one. So I guess for them, that one looked like a mistake. But for me, it was maybe my favorite shot because it was one that looked nothing like the shots I had taken in the past. It was a lot more creative and to me looked like a painting, like I said. So I guess it just brings me to the question, how far should we go with our photography? And I don't think there is a true answer to this. I think it depends on the person. I think it depends on what the purpose of the photos are for. And it just makes me think more about the different categories that your art could fall into. So I guess you could say that I was shooting a documentary style. I should have been shooting documentary style because I was supposed to be telling the story of Anzac Day at the Auckland War Memorial Dawn Service. And a blurry photo is maybe not the best way to show that story in a documentary photography style. It's probably more of a fine art photography, creative, abstract kind of a style. And I've been listening to a few little tutorials and workshops on photography lately, and I guess listening to those has defined for me what fine art is. And I think to me fine art now is it's been made more clear from listening to these lessons. It was actually on landscape photography and aerial photography, these lessons I was listening to, because it's always great to get different people's perspectives. And now my understanding of fine art photography is that you have brought something to the scene, what you are seeing in front of you. You have brought something extra to that as an artist. So you're not just showing exactly what was there necessarily, because I mean anyone could do that, right, with an iPhone or a camera on auto. But as a fine artist, you are showing your interpretation of that scene, maybe how it made you feel or how you saw it. And to me, that is probably exactly what that photo was that I loved with the Navy people marching. That is my interpretation of how I saw the scene. It was lots of movement. That's kind of how I depicted it. I intentionally blurred the photo a bit with a longer shutter speed so that the movement was captured with their arms and their legs and everything. And yeah, maybe it wasn't the best place to, well, I mean, maybe it wasn't the best photo to share on social media, and that's why they didn't pick it, because it's more of a arty kind of an image. But yeah, I think that just helps define for me what fine art is, because in the past I feel like it was a little bit of a grey area, and why would you call yourself a fine artist? And now I think it is more clear to me that fine art is when the photographer has brought something extra to the scene that maybe we hadn't thought about as the person viewing the photo or the person who was there at the time the photo was taken. And that could be, you know, getting creative in any kind of a way, using a longer shutter speed, or in your editing software, playing with the colors to make it, because the colors can make the mood feel so different. Just playing with the colors, because sometimes also your camera will capture the scene in a way that is not how you remembered it. Well, that's how it is for me anyway, and I know that other photographers feel that way. Like often I'll be taking a landscape shot of this beautiful sunrise or sunset or whatever, and then I get it back on my computer and I'm just like, that looks nothing like what I remember it looking like. The colors seem so much more vivid and saturated, and they just pop. I can't say off the screen, because in real life, it was in real life when you're looking at it. And it just looks a bit flat when you get it on your screen. So I guess as a fine artist, or as an artist, as a photographer, as a creative, it's your job to not just keep that photo as it was. And I know a lot of people get funny about the way we edit things, but that is our job, and that is what we do as creatives, is manipulate the photo to make it look like how we saw it at the time. And that's you bringing something to the scene as an artist that is your interpretation of the scene. And I think having studied photography and getting a diploma in photography, I'm now having to break a lot of the rules that I learned when I was studying. I was always told, don't make your photos too saturated. Don't just boost up the saturation. That's a big no-no. Don't overexpose or underexpose your images. And I still don't want to overexpose them, because then you're losing all those details and the whites. But I mean, now I give myself freedom to just experiment with doing that, because I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything wrong with experimenting. You don't have to keep every photo that you shoot. And I think experimenting and breaking those rules is a good part of the creative process, because sometimes you discover something that you hadn't thought about before, or you'd never thought to do, but you experimented with something and then you liked the result, so you might try doing that again in the future. And I guess there are a lot of rules out there. There's a lot of courses out there in photography now online. You can go study photography and spend a lot of money doing that. But my advice, and we're kind of going off topic here now, and I've said this before, but my advice is, rather than go and study photography and spend a lot of money on getting a degree or a diploma, I would just spend time with other photographers that you admire. See if you can go on a shoot with them. See if you can work with them for free for a while, because I think that's the best way to learn. And even better is to just find a group of photographers that you really enjoy hanging out with. Go on shoots with them, just hang out with them for drinks or dinner or whatever. But just, I think, to grow as a photographer and to really help your creative genius, I guess, come out, the best way is to hang out with a group of like-minded photographers. And of course, you know, some of those photographers, if they're, I don't want to say better, because there's not necessarily one photographer who's better than the other in my mind. It's very subjective. But some of the photographers you hang out with, or you make friends with, might be further ahead than you, say, in their career. Like maybe they've been a professional photographer earning money or earning a living from photography for 20 years. And I'm sure there is a lot you can learn from that person. But there's also a lot you can learn from someone who's kind of, just been doing photography for a few years, because they might see things in a different way. They're not stuck in a rut like maybe like me. Someone who's been in the photography industry for 14 years and has been, told all these rules that you have to do this and you can't do that. Someone that has fresh eyes has more freedom to break the rules, because maybe they haven't been told so many rules. So I think it's beneficial to hang out with a group of photographers, make friends, and I think it just helps with your, not with just your photography, but your whole quality of life. Like, just, it's exciting to go hang out with people who get you, and it's fun to go on adventures together, and then you have something to look forward to and people to talk to about your latest shoot. Sometimes I'll go out on a shoot and I'm really excited about something, or I'll meet someone who does a certain type of photography and I'm really excited about it. And like, as much as my husband tries to care about all these things I tell him, he just doesn't get it as much as another photographer would. So I am trying this year, it is my goal, to connect with more female photographers in particular. Not that I have anything against male photographers, but I just feel like female photographers just get me and are more willing to listen to my emotional side of how I'm feeling, and to share their emotions with me. Because some things, especially like when your images are being judged at a competition, at a photography awards, sometimes it's an emotional time when maybe you didn't do as well as you thought you would, or you didn't think the judge's comments were fair, or you just didn't understand them. And yeah, sometimes when stuff like that happens, I feel like females understand me anyway better than males do. I know my husband sometimes gets quite overwhelmed when I talk about my emotions and doesn't quite know what to do, and maybe that's just a male thing. They're not as in touch with their emotions. But yeah, going back to fine art and what is fine art and how do you bring your contribution or your creativity to a scene. And I think the best, I know I said there is no best, but for me, the photos that, or the photographers that I enjoy their work the most, they're the ones who, it may not be completely obvious, but they're the ones who have brought their perspective or their creative ideas to the photo, and they have shot it in a way that reflects what they were feeling at the time, or what they saw at the time, or yeah, just the general mood of how they felt when they were there viewing the scene. And I'm mostly talking about landscape photography because that's mostly what I shoot, but there are different ways you can get creative with like portraits and like, everything. I've talked about Richard Wood before, and he takes some amazing portraits, and I'm not sure you would even call them portraits because there's so much detail in there and there is a person in there. I don't know, maybe whether it's a commercial shot, possibly, but he is so creative with how he places different objects around the person, and how in some images he makes the person look like they're floating. And I know that he's done some installations in some exhibitions, I think, where he has actually used like software that I think you get your phone out to view the photo and it actually comes alive and there's like butterflies that are fluttering around and other parts that are moving in the photo. So he has obviously like let his creativity run wild and it has just made him produce some amazing photos. I have heard from a friend that the way, because I was like, how does he come up with this stuff? And she said that he just is kind of comes up with it randomly by saying like, oh, let's think of a letter, the letter M, and what starts with that letter? Marshmallows, monkeys, the moon, and he just incorporates all those things into his shot. I haven't heard from him that's exactly what he does, but that's what I've heard from other people. So I guess like I would call his work fine art, but I'm not sure that he does, because he's brought so much to the creation of the image. And yes, probably a lot of it is done in post-production or Photoshop. But I think, you know, people are becoming more and more accepting of editing your photos, or photos becoming heavily edited or put together as composites, because there was a time where people, you know, we were transitioning from film in the darkroom to digital and you know, Photoshop and Lightroom and editing software like that. And I think people were very hard on people that edited their photos in Photoshop, and a lot of people kind of, you know, said, oh, that's fake, it's been Photoshopped. And there's still a little bit of that, I think, but it's people are becoming more acceptive of it, because they're realizing that really Photoshop and editing software is just like being in the dark room, but it's a lot easier to do it because you don't have to be in the dark sniffing chemicals for hours and hours and days. Yeah, so I guess Photoshop and editing software allows us as well to really be super creative and just take those creative ideas to the next level. And my advice, if you're starting out in photography or you just want to get a bit more creative and develop your style more, is just to experiment. Go out there and try something. Just see what works. Try something crazy. Like I like to get ideas online as well, and from photographers that I admire, and just try different things. But also I'm wanting to start getting into playing around in Photoshop a lot more and doing some composites. But yeah, I think you develop your style and you become, you develop your creativity and how you like to do your photos. I'm trying to avoid saying you become better, because like I said, I don't think one photographer is better than the other. It's very subjective. Like some people think one style is better and some people think other styles are better. But anyway, you only improve your photography and get to a place where you love what you're doing more if you experiment and practice. And I guess it's getting to a place of where you're really proud of what you're producing. And yeah, and it's exciting you and you feel like you're growing. So that's what I would do if, yeah, I was new to photography, new to fine art photography, and yeah, just wanted to develop my style and get a little bit more creative. And like I said, it is fun to bounce ideas off other photographers, learn from other photographers, look at their styles, and just hang out together and have fun. And that's what I'm excited about with the Female Photographer Society, is just to hang out with a whole lot of awesome photographers of every level, and just have fun and bounce ideas off each other and inspire and learn from each other. So that's really cool, and I can't wait for our next meetup to, yeah, go take some photos with some other women and just see their perspective on photography and how they shoot, and yeah, just talk about life. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and I would love it if you would give me a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.